Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
The Voice of the American Redoubt. This is episode 1935 of The Voice of the American Redoubt. This is the 35th podcast, Sunday evening podcast of 2019. And there would be a couple more had I not been predisposed like I was last weekend. We were at the Panhandle Preparedness Expo and had a great time, met some really wonderful folks, and I'm going to share that with you in segment four, our interview with author Austin Chambers. So I'm looking forward to that. We had a great time. I got to go out to dinner with Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, and it was just a really neat time. But the best part was to meeting so many of you out there from the listening audience. It's always just really a pleasure it's an honor, really, to meet so many of you. And I met several listeners who said, I've been listening to you since the very beginning, since show one, episode one in 2011, over 8 years ago, and been listening faithfully since then. And just many of you, some of you came on a little bit later, just a few years ago. But it's just amazing. It's encouraging because most of the time I don't hear from many of you. And, of course, I'm so busy. I get so much email and stuff that you lose that. So it's just I want to thank you guys for being there. I want to thank you for being just faithful and keeping the faith in your own lives. Keeping your eye on the ball, keeping your eye on the prize, cherishing Americanism. Understanding a really good proper perspective on what's going on in the world, because it's confusing. It's like living in Alice in Wonderland sometimes. And you guys are just so rock solid in the faith, in your heritage as Christian patriots. And you just, you know who you are and what you stand for. And you're unwavering. And I'll tell you how encouraging that is to me. And a lot of you guys are like, oh, you've really encouraged us and helped us to stay on track. But no, that helps me stay on track. So it's symbiotic, right? We need each other. All right. Well, let's get into the news and commentary. This is going to be, hold up one sec. This will be part two of the real threats that we face in response to this circus that was put on as a presentation called The Threats We Face. It was put on in Spokane. And if you didn't listen to part one, yesterday's show from KTW, the American Christian Network affiliate, that is up at podbean.com or radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com. Click on or listen to RFR. There's all the different ways that you can listen, from the live streaming to the terrestrial radio shows that are broadcast out of Spokane. And then, of course, all of our archive shows at radiofreeredoubt.com. It's all available right there from the drop-down menu at radiofreeredoubt.com. And that's my website also, or my email address is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. So now for real, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, all 10 books out on audio. Check it out at 299days.com. First story. This was beautiful. This made me say, that is my president. President Trump snubbed the climate hoax meeting at the UN, and instead he did something different. President Donald Trump made his political priorities clear Monday within an hour of arriving at the United Nations for a three-day visit. He breezed by a major climate change summit to focus instead on religious persecution, an issue that resonates with his evangelical supporters. The climate summit, a centerpiece of this year's UN schedule, of course, was not on Trump's agenda at all, but he stopped in to observe for about 15 minutes before heading to what he saw as the main event, course, just offending everyone, which is good. If you're going to offend Marxist globalists, then so be it. Trump said it was an urgent moral duty for world leaders to stop crimes against faith and release prisoners of conscience and repeal laws restricting religious liberty. Good for him. That's a good start in the right direction toward just getting the UN out of our country altogether. Out of theclashdaily.com, adoption is the topic. Federal judicial ruling is supposed to be coming in a battle between same-sex and religious freedom's case. Speaking of religious freedom here, a lower court ruling in Michigan favoring same-sex couples over the rights of religious organizations to not work with same-sex couples seeking adoption was appealed and sent before a federal judge. The original case pit the state against St. Vincent Catholic Charities over their adoption policy. Their policy was challenged in court and ruled to be an example of unlawful discrimination. Can you believe that? In 2017, Nessel, a Democrat who is Michigan's first openly homosexual statewide office holder, and the American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan sued the state on behalf of two lesbian couples. These are today's headlines. Fast forward, and the case gets kicked up to a higher court to be heard again with the question of what happens when LGBTQ LMNOP priorities and religious rights come into conflict. Does a religious institution still have the right to operate according to its own conscience? Or does the co-opted rainbow overrule them now? That's the question. So you can read more about that over at clashdaily.com. We'll put the links in the highlights and resources posting. Prager University. You guys have heard of them. Many of you guys have heard of Prager University. I love Prager U videos. But apparently a Google representative actually told PragerU that their video on the Ten Commandments has been restricted because it refers to murder. So because it has murder in it, they flagged it. Isn't that interesting? So Google representatives flagged the PragerU video on the Ten Commandments because it references murder. Right, right. Looking out for us. Thanks, Google. We're going completely out of our minds category of the news. New York Attorney General attempts to ban the sale of metal that can be made into guns. This is from newstarget.com. Actually, it's that contains an article from amoland.com, a republished article. Amoland.com is a great website for Second Amendment issues. But the Attorney General of New York, recently elected and rabidly anti-Second Amendment, Letitia James, is attempting to intimidate online sellers of the materials and tools used to make firearms into not selling them to New York residents. She claims the companies are promoting law breaking. So yeah, we're probably talking about the 80% lowers that you can complete and manufacture your own. Well, this is from the part from Amoland. New York Attorney General Letitia James announced that she had directed the operators of 16 websites that manufacture and or sell firearms or firearms components to, quote unquote, cease and desist selling nearly complete assault weapons into New York State. The possession, manufacture, and sale of assault weapons is illegal in New York, but these companies have been providing the means to violate the state's assault weapons ban, she says, and often specifically advertise their products as a way to evade law enforcement with phrases like, if they don't know you have it, they can't take it, which is true. I concur with that statement. There's only one purpose for the products that these companies are selling, to manufacture illegal and deadly assault weapons. She said, the proliferation of these types of weapons has not only caused indescribable suffering across the country, but gravely endanger every New Yorker. We must make sure that these illegal and untraceable guns are not built in New York. Well, first of all, you don't get to talk about the cause of indescribable suffering until you begin discussing the halting of dismembering unborn babies from their mother's wombs. So let's not talk about saving lives here. This is about control. And besides that, what is illegal is your unconstitutional law. It is a violation of our national law, the supreme law of the land. And that's for the citizens to be able to have the means to defend themselves. And these are in common use. These are not unusual firearms. They are in common use by law-abiding citizens who kill no one every single day. That was from whatfinger.com. Oh, also, whatfinger.com is really, if you guys don't follow it, I highly recommend it. It's one of my main go-to pages. It's apparently maintained by veterans and conservatives, and it's kind of like Drudge Report, but it's, I would say it's rapidly replacing Drudge Report. Drudge has really gone downhill. They're not covering some of the stuff that whatfinger.com will bring to you. And this, some of the news stories that I get, you can only find there. And it's an aggregate news site. But hey, Radio Free Redoubt and Redoubt News made whatfinger.com with the yesterday's show, part one, the real threats that we face, the sacred part one. So really interesting. And also Redoubt News, congratulations again to them. Their story, The Sheriff That Cried Wolf story, is also listed at whatfinger.com, written by Sherry Duvalli. If you guys haven't checked out redoubtnews.com, then you should probably do so daily, right? But I'll just read a portion of this to you, and then we'll take a break. The Sheriff That Cried Wolf. Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich has been crying about the dangers of local conservative Christians for years. He has shown himself to be completely obsessed with the idea that he must lead the charge to get these people out of office. It has not worked to date. So the sheriff tried again this week and screamed wolf to a crowd in Spokane Valley. He had a few takers, but not enough. Thank God. And I'll be talking about that later in this show in segments 2 and 3. Claiming that some local and state elected officials and their supporters are expanding extremism through Christianity and politics, Knezovich comes off as a sad little man that either has lost his perspective or is projecting the things that he and his own small cult are doing. Yes, Sheriff Knezovich is growing his own narrow-minded sect of extremists, including the informant Jay Pounder. So, you can go and read the rest of that article, but I'm going to cover some more of that in the next segment. It really ties in with the part two, and we'll wrap that stuff up. And we'll move on because, you know, we've got stuff to do, but we do want to smack these things down when they pop their heads up like whack-a-mole. You guys, many of you have heard of Sam Culper. We are collaborating with Radio Free Redoubt is collaborating with Sam Culper and the Forward Observer to bring you an intelligence report and analysis. You know, he's a former military intelligence analyst with experience in deployments in Iraq, real world experience. And he does a lot of intelligence training for the prepper and patriot to make sense of information in your community so you can assess what level of threats there are and what type of action that you can take. So he has a watch report, and it's a weekly look at political, social, and economic intelligence and includes early warning and indications of America's volatile future. So in the latest, we're going to be bringing this to you probably between segment 1 and 2 in the future, but in the most recent watch report that just came out a couple days ago, he's got different sections. In Focus, the left continues to cultivate gun culture of its own. From Brookings, entering an era of sustained turbulence. It covers Antifa protest at the Portland ICE facility. That's Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Extinction Rebellion tactics questioned. Ram update. Presidential candidates unpopular. Soldier arrested for terror conspiracy and Economic Financial Watch. Those are the categories of just this week's watch report. You can learn more by going to Forward Observer. And then don't forget to tune in at the end of the show, Liberty State Radio episode. Oh, geez. Episode, what is it? I think it's 6 or 7 is coming up right after Radio Free Redoubt ends tonight. So let's take a quick break. President Trump coming right up. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
cut my teeth on when...
The United States is founded on the principle that our rights do not come from government. They come from God. This immortal truth is proclaimed in our Declaration of Independence and enshrined in the First Amendment to our Constitution's Bill of Rights. Our founders understood that no right is more fundamental to a peaceful, prosperous, and virtuous society than the right to follow one's religious convictions. Today, with one clear voice, the United States of America calls upon the nations of the world to end religious persecution.
This is segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from the free zones across the wire into the occupied zones. Have courage, patriots. The enemy is in the wire, though, so we are not just kicked back here. We're engaged. Our sleeves are rolled up, and there are enemies of Americanism, and we are engaged in that continuing battle. So thank you guys for your support. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate is supporting us with this segment, segment two. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate is helping folks like you get strategically relocated to help strengthen the American Redoubt. If you are looking at the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, then that's where they specialize in that area. So check them out at selkirkmountainrealestates.com. I already mentioned the Panhandle Preparedness Expo. That was a huge success. Lots of fun. Just really great folks. I got to meet so many people. So I'm appreciative of that. But let's kind of pick up where we left off yesterday, since this is part two of the threats we face, or the real threats that we face. And I want to point to, you know, a couple of things that I referenced yesterday from the Forward Observer. The political analyst mentions the political analyst Ron Brownstein may be right that the nation may be headed deeper into an era of sustained turbulence that pits what America has been against what it is becoming. And I think that is a great summary of really what we're up against. This is what America has been against what is becoming. And these are the two dichotomies. This is the clash of two cultures that are coming together. You know, the traditional Christian American ideals and heritage up against a postmodern, post-Christian, Marxist, globalist, anti-Christian camp. So this is the battle that we're in. And that's from an article, by the way, from the Brookings.edu, Brookings Institute, and their article, America Has Two Economies and They Are Diverging Fast. Also, this week, conservative radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh said on Friday that America is in the middle of a cold civil war, and that President Trump is on the cusp of exposing corruption on Capitol Hill, not to mention that, and that's mainstream. We're talking to Rush Limbaugh. That's mainstream people saying that now, and mainstream media outlets are saying, you know, could there be a civil war? And more are saying we are already in a civil war. Now, a lot of our political, economic, and military analysts are saying, and have been saying for some time, that we are in already a cold civil war, especially as the Higgins memo points out, the ongoing coup attempt against the executive branch of our government, President Trump trying to be ousted by those with strong ties to Marxism and communism and just leftist, anti-American, and unconstitutional-based people. So God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots have seen storm clouds forming on the horizon, and not as a conspiracy theory or alarmist standpoint, but as watchmen on the wall, students of history, and patriots who love our country and who took an oath. Many of us, not if not most of us, having served in theater during war, and we continue to take our oaths seriously today to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, there's three considerations here to kind of set things up for tonight. First of all, Marxism, communism is growing at an accelerated pace. And now they don't even try to hide it. Socialist Democrats, Antifa, and indivisible are just some of the examples that we see daily almost in the headlines or in our communities. A casual study of history shows that Marxism and communism becomes more militant and aggressive as it expands within a culture. It continues until it achieves supreme rule. It must become the dominant system. It does not tolerate competition, and participation is mandatory. Subjects who reject it are heavily persecuted, imprisoned, or eventually killed. These are Marxist dominionists. Now, the second case, or the second consideration. A casual study of history shows that Islam becomes more militant and aggressive as it expands within a culture. Islam is not just a religion. It is a total system containing political, cultural, religious, economic, and military components. It continues until it achieves supreme rule through Sharia law. It must become the dominant system in its country, its host country, or culture. It does not tolerate competition, and participation is mandatory. Subjects who reject it are heavily persecuted, imprisoned, or eventually killed. These are Islamist dominionists. Now, the third consideration, because there is a concerted effort against Christian patriots who see what's going on, they see the storm clouds, and they're taking it seriously. If you remember where we were in 2015, 2016, 2017, or 2014, 2015, 2016, we had a previous president who will not be named that was very clearly influenced by Marxist ideologies. The Bureau of Land Management was abusing their authority. They were not being held accountable for those abuses. The Department of Homeland Security was on an aggressive information campaign demonizing and even labeling as potential domestic homeland terror threats returning veterans, conservative Christians who stand against abortion and who support traditional marriage as God designed it. They were labeling those who support the Second Amendment and secure borders and enforcing immigration policy, and those who vote for third-party candidates as potential domestic homeland terror threats. The administration had a very clear anti-Christian and anti-American agenda. And in 2016, it appeared that Hillary Clinton would win the election with full intentions of accelerating the anti-American agenda of the previous administration. Now, there were several leaders, let's bring it local, several leaders, state and local elected officials, pastors, business leaders, lawyers, influential community leaders who began discussing the possibilities of a socio-political economic collapse, like many political, economic, and military analysts were warning of. So the whole point was to look at options and ask, what if? What if this really happens? All these experts are saying, and what happens if this continues on its current trajectory? How do we respond? How should patriots respond? What would it look like afterward? And how would we recover and rebuild after something like that? How do we present an alternative to a recovery plan that would be pushed by a Marxist globalist-minded group of people, anti-American people? So that's what these meetings were over the last several years. There were think tank discussions. There was no plan of violence. There were only options on the table to discuss, none of which were actually implemented, other than people's personal preparedness plans for their families or their communities in terms of food storage and medical supplies and things like that. So then President Trump won the election, giving us a reprieve. Now we have Marxists and Islamists who are becoming more aggressive than ever before, especially with President Trump in office now. Now they're feeding off of each other. This is very much spiritual warfare, demonic type of activity. And especially the communist Marxists, who we've seen in the headlines attacking police, attacking people who don't... there's really no pattern I mean, they're against fascism and racism, and but they're beat up an Asian guy, or they're against anyone who stands against homosexuality. But then they beat up a homosexual Asian guy because he supported Trump, and they're calling him a racist while they're beating him up. This is the weird, topsy-turvy, Alice in Wonderland kind of world that we're living in now. And they're Marxist anarchists. Now, a year and a half to 3 years later, a couple of misfits who never felt like anyone respected them as much as they thought they deserved want to make a name for themselves as social justice warriors. Like a couple of King Jeremy the Wickeds. For you Pearl Jam fans, you'll know what I'm talking about. So we have this sham of a presentation this past week put on in Spokane Valley on the same stage as the Liberty State Gala that took place in May that was put on by patriots in Eastern Washington, or should I say Liberty State. And I went over there for that, and it was great. It was so encouraging. There were good, God-fearing patriots working to develop a real plan to push back against the Marxists in Western Washington, over in Olympia and Seattle. And the misguided misfits want to do everything they can to sabotage it. So here we are, fighting against real enemies of Americanism, and just to get sabotaged by a couple little chihuahuas biting at your ankles. It's worse than that, actually. You're standing for Americanism against the spread of Marxist Islam dominionists. So I guess a better analogy would be, it'd be like being attacked by a couple of muggers and you're fighting them off and some midget comes running around the corner with a baseball bat smacking you in the shins while you're fighting for your life. And that's what these misguided misfit saboteurs are doing. So I want to contrast and compare the patriots and the saboteurs. Now, most of the Christian patriots in the circles that I'm with that are being falsely accused of trying to force Christian dominionism on people, and they've even twisted this to tie it into white nationalism. Most of these Christian patriots, including myself, are combat veterans. Most of the saboteurs have never served their country. Isn't that an interesting thing to note? The ones that are accusing us of white supremacy, Christian dominionism, this evil plan, we're domestic terrorists, and they're sabotaging the efforts to stand and hold those traditional American ideals in the face of real adversaries with a long track record and a history of oppression, murder, and enslavement of a people. And we want to preserve Americanism and reject those foreign systems that are set to overthrow and subvert Americanism and the Constitution and replace it with a system foreign to the United States of America. And that is against the law, first of all. Secondly, it is an existential threat if you cherish and want to preserve traditional American ideals and the rule of law and the Constitution. So based on our heritage. So there was an article that I started to read in, out of Redoubt News, The Sheriff Who Cried Wolf. So one of these saboteurs, this misguided misfit, his name is John Smith. So let me continue on with this. Let's not forget the white supremacist and Christian identity believer, John Smith, who has yet to be forthcoming on all of his history. He seems to be the sheriff's lead co-conspirator in his war against the conservatives. However, Smith declared during the event that he had left the white supremacist movement as a teenager about 14 to 15 years old. And I'm so glad they put this in here because I forgot to mention it yesterday and I even had it in my notes. And this is what he said. When I was a teenager, I made the choice that that wasn't the lifestyle for me. That wasn't a belief system that I wanted to build my life on. And I picked up and left. But he's a liar. What Smith didn't tell everyone is that he was still attending this church long after he claimed to have left. It leaves one to wonder, why would he lie about that? Smith is married to another descendant of these beliefs, the former Desiree Bright, a granddaughter of Christian Identity pastor Ray Barker. And their marriage took place at the Christian Identity Church called the Ark in Stevens County. He told a reporter for the Spokesman Review back in 2013 that his repeated attendance at the ARC was, quote unquote, essentially community events like potlucks. Based on these statements, he is indicating that he stopped attending his church sometime after his marriage. This would be all well and good, except for the fact that the facts keep changing little bits at a time. The story continues to evolve. Again, when did he stop adhering to Christian identity? Did he ever really stop? He stated at the event this week that what you will hear from a lot of people is that, you know, like they will talk as if white supremacy or anti-Semitism is like gluten, that just one day you can decide to give it up, but that's not the case. Oh, so okay, once a white supremacist, always a white supremacist, I guess. He also admitted, if today you were to ask me, are you a racist? The honest answer that I can give you is, I don't want to be. And so he's accusing Christian patriots like you and me of being racist, while he's not denying that he is still a racist, pointing to us who are not racists, calling us racist, to destroy the Liberty State movement. Isn't this bizarre? This is what we're up against. So is he still a racist? He doesn't really know. Is he projecting his beliefs and fears onto local Christian conservatives to deflect from his own behavior? This is a very real possibility, the article states. This is just very interesting. So, this John Smith throws up a screenshot of Radio Free Redoubt, the website, right next to Radio Free Northwest, and says, a lot of similarities. And as it turns out, Radio Free Northwest, which I just learned about Tuesday, apparently is a white nationalist, white supremacist, Aryan Nation website promoting their ideals. So a lot of similarities. Yeah, you know, like we both start with Radio Free, I guess. That's about as far as it goes in the Northwest. We'll talk about more of that in the next chapter. But strange how the accusers oftentimes are guilty of the thing that they're trying to project onto someone else. And they're liars and deceivers. Fortunately, the lines are pretty well drawn. Everyone knows what side they stand for, and they see the liars and saboteurs for who they are. Hundreds and hundreds of patriots in this area are just all abuzz about this, and they're just livid. I mean, this is a strange battle. I mean, we're supposed to be fighting communists and Islamic dominionists, Sharia law, trying to overthrow the U.S. Constitution, and we want to stand against that. And then we're getting hit from the side from, I don't know, somebody just needs some attention. They just need the limelight. They're finally important in life, and they're making the most of it, even if they got to make it up or exaggerate or embellish. And it's sad. But anyway, we'll be right back with segment three right after this. Hi, I want to take a moment to let you all know about a great offer that will put up-to-the-minute intelligence and breaking news in your hands, often minutes or hours before you'll hear about it on the news or anywhere else. The director of Alerts USA and the editor of The Threat Journal, Steve Oxtokolnis, is offering a discounted subscription to all of you as listeners of Radio Free Redoubt and members of AMRON. The Alerts USA subscription is normally $99 a year, but if you click on the Alerts USA banner at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com, that will take you through to a page where you can subscribe for just $75. Whether it's a natural disaster, active shooter, terrorist attack, or other rapidly developing security or emergency situation, you'll be among the first to know. Information is king, but accurate and timely information is priceless. I not only use Alerts USA, I count on it. However, if you're not able to pay for a subscription at this time, then you can still sign up for the free Threat Journal email subscription to get weekly intelligence briefs and stay in the know on what occurred in the previous days. Again, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com and click on the Alerts USA banner. We are back with segment three, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive. If you are buying your property or you've already bought it, you need some help with securing water rights, addressing the areas of looking at areas of defensibility, food production, just sustainability. Strategic Landscape Design on your property. Check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. And also they have remote consulting services. So even if you don't live in the American Redoubt, they can help you out. Check them out. All right. Now, continuing on here, when I mentioned earlier this screenshot of these two websites, Radio Free Redoubt and Radio Free Northwest, that the Aryan Nation site, this John Smith mentions there's some striking similarities. Now, he didn't say Radio Free Redoubt is racist, but it's the innuendo, it's the insinuation of it. Guilt by association, even though we're not associated, but guilt through similarities, right? And it's so disingenuous. So we're going to talk about that because, you know, let's say, okay, there are some similarities. They both start with Radio Free. They are both apparently based out of the Pacific Northwest. Of course, Radio Free Redoubt, or the American Redoubt, specifically the inland Pacific Northwest, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Eastern Oregon, and Eastern Washington, or State of Liberty. Both speak of the moral breakdown of our country and Marxist attacks. Now, there's more striking similarities elsewhere. Among Sheriff Knezevich's merry band of misguided misfit saboteurs, John Smith and Jay Pounder, they both claim to be Christians. Well, on the other side, the American Patriots also claim to be Christians. There's some striking similarities there. But let's explore the striking contrasts between the Patriots and the misguided saboteurs. First, Radio Free Redoubt is a conservative Christian patriot radio show which stands for Israel. It is a strategic migration movement encouraging like-minded, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots to move here to the American Redoubt to strengthen the very conservative region as a bastion, holding off a Marxist agenda and preserving our American heritage, our values, and our ideals. It's based on ideology, and race has nothing to do with it. Radio Free Northwest is apparently an Aryan white nationalist effort, a website I don't ever recall even hearing about before this past Tuesday. They're outspokenly anti-Jew, of course. On Radio Free Redoubt page, we have the banner, "We Stand with Israel," with the Israeli flag and the scripture, "We Stand with Israel, and I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." That's Genesis 12:3, which has been on our website since, I think, day one or week one, month one, right at the very beginning and ever since. And we've been strong advocates and often refer to Israel as the original redoubt for God's people. He gave that land to them. So, John Smith said in his presentation that they, white supremacists, Christian dominionists, whatever, they're synonymous, right, according to them, have black friends to essentially check the box so they can point and say, "I have black friends. How can I be a racist?" To disguise their real racist views. Now, I do have some black friends, and they're friends because they're God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian patriots. And this is offensive, actually, to insinuate that the only reason why I have, I only have like three black friends, but they're good people. So don't project onto us your personal hangups because you can't decide whether or not you're still a white supremacist. And we get to define ourselves, not you. And they're friends. Matter of fact, I think the last three presidential candidates, Republicans that I voted for, were black, but big deal. Who cares? They had nothing to do with their skin color. I didn't care about that because their views most closely aligned with mine. That's before I thought, well, that's before Trump proved himself to me. But I choose my friends because of the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And it certainly isn't because I need to check off a box so I can shed some of my white guilt. That's just bull crap to be implicated that way. And you said, John Smith, 14 or 15 years old when you left white nationalism or white supremacy, whatever it is. You're a liar. You were still associated with the white nationalist congregation in Stevens County while you were campaigning to be elected senator. And you were warned about those affiliations by people that I've spoken with. One of which is black, by the way. Interesting. Meanwhile, this John Smith continues to malign the folks at Marble Country as white nationalists, white supremacists, while Marble has two black pastors living in that community who are friends with Pastor Barry and Ann Byrd and who stand by them and who are furious at the outrageous claims by John Smith. And the guy who says publicly, maybe he's still a racist, but he has, friends are there to help him with that. What a guy. So, and also, like I mentioned yesterday, John Smith was appointed after he weaseled his way into the correct clique among the Stevens County Republicans, and much to their later regret, they appointed him to fill a vacant seat on the state Senate. And later he was smacked down in the real election, but that's his claim to fame, the title former senator. Of course, it's only by a fluke, but that's it. John Smith, who is he? A former senator. Ooh, sounds important. He's nothing. He's a nobody. He always has been. He always will be. And this is why he's trying to finally find his purpose in life. So, at the threats we face, by the way, what they did, I'm wondering, what did they have to say about the Marxists or the advancement of Islam and Sharia law? Just crickets chirping. So they open up with we're talking about contrasts here. Further contrasts at the threats we face event, they open up with a multi-faith leaders of conscience group of women who proudly invoked the sacred in their so-called prayer. While at the Liberty State event that this group of misguided misfit saboteurs list as a threat we face, opened up with a prayer by a Christian pastor asking that everything we do and say glorifies him, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a contrast. Another contrast. This was hosted by, I misspoke yesterday, I said it was put on by the sheriff. It wasn't. He was one of the keynote speakers. This was put on by the Spokane County Republicans, or the SCR. They are a group of rhinos. This is not the Republican Party. It is just a club of people who call themselves Republicans, whose MC at the event this week stated that she asked this group of spiritual leaders to open in prayer and who she thinks America should be more about when they invoked the sacred. And there was no Christian pastor, there was no Lord, there was no in the name of Jesus, no, none of them were invited. But at the Liberty State Gala, it was heavily attended by the Spokane Constitutional Republicans, also a club of Spokane Republicans who are, and I think they, I'm not sure if they changed their name, but last I spoke at their event, it was a Spokane Constitutional Republicans. Another contrast, the security at the Liberty State event was provided by local militia. They were very professionally dressed and they professionally conducted themselves in the face of cussing agitators. In fact, some of the agitators that are involved in this Threats We Face event, who were swearing, cussing, dropping the F-bomb in the presence of women and children, saying that it was their constitutional right. Well, the local militia, who acted very professionally, kept level heads, and they kept the peace until the police got there to escort the fractious attendees out of there. And those same fractious attendees were some of the primary people involved in this Threats That We Face sham that took place on Tuesday, where the Liberty State event had security conducted by the militia, which is part of our American heritage, by the way, and actually mentioned in the Constitution. The Threats We Face circus had a biker gang standing around glaring at the crowd looking like nightclub bouncers for their security. And no conservatives came up and got in their face screaming and dropping the F-bomb. So, by contrast, what they call Christian dominionism. I want to remind you all, Christianity was the dominant religion and culture in America 200 years before the United States was even born, and for over 200 years after the Declaration of Independence. It was a Christian nation. Under Christianity, and only under the rule of a Christian nation, does true religious liberty exist. It is the most tolerant of any other system. You would not have the diverse religious makeup in America if it were not a Christian nation. Nowhere in the world is it tolerant of so many other religions other than a Christian nation. By contrast, Marxism and Islam, and whichever ends up on the top of the heap after they've crushed Christian America, will not be tolerant of any other system. Any other system, especially Christianity, will be seen, is seen, as a threat that must be destroyed, just like we're seeing. Oh, and oh my gosh, this group of Christian youth learning tactics, firearms handling, look, they're training for a holy war. They were falsely accused of. Meanwhile, in Russia, public school kids are learning how to field strip and reassemble AK-47s. And in Islam, they're teaching their kids to shoot guns, wear suicide vests, and they're learning tactics so that they can kill Jews and Christians one day. And be damned, any Christian youth that are actually out there doing what 15 to 50-year-olds did since the beginning of this country, and trained in tactics with firearms responsibly and learning, of course, land navigation and communications and knot tying and everything else. It's what we should be teaching our kids, in my opinion. But anyway, finally, and then we're going to move on after this because we got stuff to do. But Jay Pounder posted this. One of his slides says, they want you to fear, talking about us, the patriots, the conservative patriots, that they are maligning. They're saying, and of course, he's speaking to a group of indivisible leftists and rhino Republicans and faith spiritual leaders that are praying to not God, not Jesus, but to the sacred. And that's the audience. He's saying they, the patriots, the Christian patriots, want you to fear. They count on you fearing. This is how they prosper. This is how they advance their cause. And this is how they find their purpose in life, is they count on you being in fear. They want you to fear. And there's a bulleted list. They want you to fear the communist. They want you to fear the Maoist, which is the same as communist. They want you to fear Antifa. They want you to fear the leftists, the globalists, Islam, and anyone they deem as a threat that impacts their agenda. Well, in a way, that's true, because my agenda is preserving traditional American ideals and the United States Constitution that I took an oath to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's my agenda. And the communists, the Maoists, the Antifa, the leftists, which are the same as communists and Maoists, the globalists, which is the same as communists and Marxists, and Islam, Sharia law, by design, their whole agenda is to overthrow the United States Constitution and system of governance and to destroy any Christian heritage from this land and replace it with their own system of Marxist dominionists or Islamic dominionism with their boots on our throats. And that is a threat to me. That is a threat to my country. That is a threat to my children and grandchildren. And I'm going to stand against it. Now, I don't need you to fear to find some purpose in my life. What I need you to do is be vigilant, because vigilance is the cost of liberty. We were told that by the founding fathers. I took it to heart. So who cares what these people have to say? We have an agenda, and it is a righteous cause. So anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. We're going to move on. We got other stuff to cover. And in segment four, we've got Austin Chambers, the author of the book series Tahoma's Hammer, recorded from last week at the Prepper Expo. And it wasn't just an interview. It was just a conversation. We just sat down and just talked like two guys, and it was really a good time. But hopefully you'll enjoy listening to what he had to say and how he was inspired to write the book and a little bit about what the book is about. I want to encourage you guys to check the book out yourselves. All right, segment four coming right up. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more. As I mentioned before, we've been looking forward to this interview, and so it's an honor here. We are, we're recording this now for next week's show, and we're here with the author, Austin Chambers, of the Cascadia Fallen book series. Book one is out now, and Austin Chambers has had a booth here, signing copies, talking to people about the book. And this is really exciting because this is, you know, right here in our own neck of the woods. And I met you for the first time at the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo. Yeah, so welcome, Austin Chambers.
Yep, thank you, John Jacob Schmidt, and appreciate the help. I first learned about you last year. We came to this expo, and of course, I don't expect that you would remember that we met, but that's what inspired me to go join AMRON was a year ago. And so even though I'm only a tech, I decided to join as a core member. I know one day I'll have the time and the money to put into gear and training, and I try to dabble on that when I can, but this book writing project wound up taking up all of my free time. I still have a full-time job.
Right, right. Now, let me ask you this. How far into this novel, book one, were you when we met last year and you joined AMRON?
Okay, I hadn't even started drafting yet. I've had this inclination for many years that I would make a decent writer. Starting way back in the 90s, I went to college after the military, and the teacher kept using my stuff as an example, right?
Nice.
So, but I'm one of those men that the Holy Spirit has to put a lot of patience into, and he's been whispering in my ear about a lot of things for many, many years, and finally, last year, I'm staring 50 down the down the pipe, and I'm going, I haven't had an overtime type job in many years. So my wife and I were racking up a little debt, and I was like, well, maybe I should go write a book, put some of those God-given talents to use. And this story just got really big. I have multiple point of view characters, multiple stories. I went with the fish out of water non-prepper guy that has to go to Seattle to try to find his kids who were on a field trip the day the disasters happened.
Right.
I had two polar opposites, a narcissistic surgeon, a plastic surgeon, and like a young lady that's in the Navy, and they were both at SeaTac Airport. They had to make their way back to a safety zone over on the other side of the water because they had resources over there that they could at least try to get to.
Right.
And I just wanted to tell all these character-driven stories, having grown up as a kind of a Tom Clancy fan where he always blended all these different unrelated stories and they were related at the right moment. That's what I was trying to go for with this.
Yeah, good job. I haven't finished it yet, but yeah. I like the direction that it's going. I like the development of the characters. And this is a very plausible scenario. So let's talk about this.
Sure.
The scenario, Cascadia Fallen. What does that mean to people that don't live in the Pacific Northwest?
Good question. The 2016, there was a large FEMA drill, and I believe there might be another one coming up next month. But it was multi-state, multi-agency from all levels, local to federal, called Cascadia Rising.
Right.
And so as I'm trying to play through ideas last year, I'm going to bear down and finally get this off the bucket list. What kind of story do I want to tell? Well, I've been working in this shipyard since the 90s, and we had a big earthquake.
Puget Sound.
Yes. Okay. We had a big earthquake in 2001. It was like 6.8, and it was deep, which means it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And it was, I was on a really big heavy-duty platform that's meant for a scaffold builder at the time, and it was meant for carrying large amounts of weight. So it's a big, heavy one, and it rocked. And I could see after we did our inspections later that day, they had walked several inches, this thing that weighed 4,000 or 5,000 pounds, right? It was like it was nothing. So for the last 18, 19 years, in the back of my mind has been, what happens if these caissons, which are the big metal plugs that hold the water out of the dry dock, go, right? What happens if, what happens that? I think I want to write a story about Cascadia. And so Fallen just kind of became the antithesis to Cascadia Rising drill from 3 years ago.
Right.
And after that,
play on that drill.
But the story's got so big, it's going to wind up having to be a trilogy now. So
that's excellent. Congratulations. Yeah, this is... We followed Cascadia Rising very closely.
Mm-hmm.
We did not participate in that as AMRON, but we used that as a kind of a SIGINT or signals intelligence kind of exercise, where we were monitoring all of the official government communications, tracking that as if this were real. How would we get information? Well, one of our sources of information are emergency communications. With Aries, Races, and so on. So we were following that, and they are actually planning another Cascadia Rising in 2022.
Okay.
So that's something we definitely want to ramp up for and come alongside of that.
Well, I'll plug this for you guys. I don't know if your readers all go research your AMRON website too thoroughly. Maybe the ones who are actually operators do. But I noticed that you guys have actually set up a Cascadia-specific net.
Yes.
And a lot of people may not realize that. That's how, and I say in my preface to the book, this may not be as likely as an economic collapse scenario, or definitely, like we both know, whichever side wins in 2020, doesn't matter. Something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's more likely, but next to nuclear war, EMPs even won't knock down bridges and buildings, right?
That's right.
This threat, at least to the end, the reason I wanted to write the book I did is there's narrative in there every now and then. It's not tied to the specific characters. It summarizes what's going to happen to the rest of the country economically. Washington State exports 70% of the nation's hydroelectric power to other states.
Right.
What if those states don't get that power? Right.
Exactly.
And of course, after the trilogy, I do have a nonfiction book that I'm going to write. But after that, I'll probably do some spinoffs, more military theme than post-apocalyptic type genre. But
sure.
I'm setting up little Easter eggs in these books about that. What's Russia and China going to do the day that, we're weakened by this?
Well, yeah, exactly. And we've rolled that into our T-Rex exercises in years past, where China starts rolling in with aid and relief.
Yeah, in air quotes, aid. Yeah,
exactly. And now you got Chinese planes telling Americans to land because this is a no-fly zone because it's an emergency.
And
right.
I can't take full creative license on that idea. It just because there's a TV show that I discovered years after it was on called Jericho.
Yes,
and that was in one of those episodes. Was a Chinese plane that had dropped.
Yeah.
Obviously, people have had designs on the things that they could potentially do the moment is right for them to pounce.
Exactly. And you've delved into this really well. I mean, it's something that scientists are saying it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. This is going to go. It is going to be at least a 9.0 based on the precedence from this seismic activity in the past. It's
sure.
Not like clockwork, but it is somewhat predictable that on a certain timeline this has happened previously in history.
Mathematically, they say about 20% chance in the next 50 years, but that doesn't mean 50 years from now.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. It could happen next week and they would be accurate. Or it could happen in 45 years from now and they would be accurate. But we are in the time window from historically when we've seen this. And a 9.0 earthquake is massive. And they're saying at least. Now, the difference between a 9.0 and a 9.1 is immense.
It is. It's all exponential.
Yeah. So. And so if they, so if we have a 9.2 or a 9.4 earthquake, like they're saying, we're talking about buildings going airborne.
Yeah.
And we're we're talking about the West Coast all the way up to the I-5 corridor shifting to the west 26 feet instantly. And so, yeah.
And this is the stuff that, you know, like a lot of my friends at work, they really want to be into preparedness, but their wives don't want to talk about it.
Right.
And I don't mean to, this is not to me insulting, but it's an emotional, I won't say intelligence, it's an emotional issue because people just can't handle the thought of that being real. That has to be something in the movies only, in TV only.
Right.
And luckily, it took my wife a couple of years to wake up to preparedness, but she finally did. And it is to think about that level of devastation, you know, I'm just crossing my fingers that I can find the resources and God will place me over here somewhere in the redoubt.
Yeah.
Before all of this happens.
Yeah.
Again, I think the likelihood is more, you know, along the social unrest stuff, right? But as far as when it could happen at any moment. But
I agree. No, you're onto a good thing. You got a great book here. I hope that folks will look further into it. I know a lot of them have been going out the door and a lot of positive feedback from those who, you know, have read it. Like I have, and those who have finished reading it, like I have not.
Don't worry about it.
I will be doing that. But, the normalcy bias is a very normal thing. I know women who are very concerned about the way things are going, and women want security, and the guy isn't paying attention, and the woman is. And,
You know,
And so, you know, it's, we see this. It's not just a male, female. You do see more males taking on that provider, protector role. Trying to do, incorporate preparedness, but you know it's not always the case. But you know, you point this out, that different mindset among different people, and you know, in your characters.
And I do want to make one point, and I know that we have a lot of listeners of faith on here, and I'm going to apologize ahead of time. There is some salty language in this. I'm a Navy sailor. I work in a shipyard. And although I have been asking the Holy Spirit to help me with that a little bit, but I felt moved to write this as a way of reaching people, not just Christians.
Right.
And there is some spiritual growth in some of these characters. I have more of it planned for the follow-on books, but there is some bad language in there. If you want to shield your children from that kind of stuff, don't let them read this book.
Yeah, right? don't be on.
Don't play the audio book while you're on.
Family vacation.
Exactly.
Audio. Yeah. Hey, kids,
And there's a little bit of violence. And there's a scene there where I'll just say it this way. My female editor said, "Thank you for handling it that way. It was done with class." Because it wasn't the typical violence against women that you might see in other books. I did it where that narcissistic doctor had to learn a tough lesson when he couldn't protect the person he had sworn to protect, right?
So,
And then I guess that was the one disclaimer I wanted to throw out there on this thing, because I don't want to insult anyone with some of the salty language.
Well, it's real. It's a realistic story. Language. It's no language I've never heard before or said at one point in my life.
Sure, but it's still something planted on my heart to be conscientious about.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's respectful to people that are much more sensitive to that. And so, yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that as well. And this is good. And now, you mentioned you're a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
Your background was Navy.
Correct.
Okay, so how far, are you willing to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I went to college, I graduated high school in Austin, Texas, hence that's where the half the pen name comes from, in 1987. And I went to college and my dad says, "You're going to go to college." And I was like, "I want to go in the military." Well, I showed him, I flunked out of college like an idiot when another man's going to pay for it.
Right.
But,
and you said you were going to go in the military, but you went in the Navy.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
No, I get it. Most Army guys aren't good enough to make that joke. No, I'm just kidding. But actually, I had tried the Marines, and they found out I had a real bad allergy. I had gone through years of allergy shots, almost died as a kid. Wow. So, and I was into scuba diving. So I went in, I had this pipe dream about being a SEAL, but then it turns out I hate to run. So that didn't work out. But they tried to push me into being a nuke. You know, I had the IQ to go do the nuclear power stuff. But right. I was like, no, that sounds like a lot of studying. Did I tell you I'm flunking out of college? And they said, okay, we'll settle on gunner's mate. I did 4 years. I was on a nuclear power cruiser. I got out in 92. My chief says, hey, if this had been my first boat, I'd be getting out too. And this is right when Clinton was kind of coming in.
Yes.
First Bush had kind of lost his grasp on things. You know, he tried to do three wars and still couldn't hold on to that second term, right? So,
we deployed
a lot. I spent exactly 50% of my time on that ship at sea because it was nuclear powered. So, but I come from a semi-dysfunctional family down there, and I didn't really want to go home. Met a girl. Isn't that always the thing, right?
Right.
Stayed in the Bremerton area. Wound up getting a job at the shipyard, four or five jobs down the road. But my passion was still the camaraderie of being what I had in the Navy, right? Brotherhood right. and Absolutely. Service. So I started out as a volunteer firefighter and then wound up getting a job as a paid firefighter at the submarine base in that county. At the same time, I was coming down with asthma. So, and I was trying to be
a firefighter with asthma.
Doesn't make sense, does
right.
it? Yeah. So, and I probably genetics a little bit. I grew up around smokers, but also, the cleanliness and things. I worked in a lot of nasty stuff. That shipyard's way safe and clean now as compared to those days. So, but in the end, I don't know what the cause was. It was just to me. I've had to learn to look at it as God's will.
Yeah.
I got my shot at that dream job for a year and a half, but they laid off an entire engine company, which allowed me the opportunity to go in debt for the first time in my life. I wound up going and getting my job back in the shipyard in 1999 and said, I can't move again. This is a career.
Yeah. So there you are.
Yeah, and that was scaffolding. But that shop that owns the scaffolding now, I'm one of the mid-level managers in there and have – over the years exhibited through the writing, you know, that I can come up with trainings and I can teach and stuff like that. So
sure.
It wasn't just scaffolding. It's gone into fall protection specialism, safety, general safety stuff. So,
yeah.
And I have a passion for people and I don't necessarily like the evil side of being management. So they allow me to stick with the safety stuff. So.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, it's good. It's obvious that you're at the point in your life where it's appropriate for this story. Something you couldn't have written when you were 25 years old.
Exactly.
You know, because you're carrying real world life experience and human interaction experience into the story with your professional experience and a very realistic scenario. So, yeah, good job. That's good. And it's been really great to meet you and talk to you, spend time with you. I do recall, I totally had forgotten about that, meeting you at this expo last year.
Well, it's because my wife and I was like, hey, John Jacob Schmidt, we're fanboys and we have mic fright. We had our licenses 6 months at that point. We had never keyed up.
Oh, my goodness.
Now I'm running the AMRON net for my county, right?
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good
well, for you. As best I can. I've got an antenna issue right now and I got to get diagnosed when I get home. But I've got a good guy that's been helping me with that. So.
We've had a lot of folks from the Puget Sound area that were here at this expo in North Idaho saying, you know, I would love to be involved in AMRON in a local net, but I live over there in the Puget Sound area. I said, oh, you've got some patriots over there you don't know about.
Yeah, so, and one of the problems is we got this, it's not mountainous like it is here, but it's very hilly on that peninsula. So
very difficult on simplex nets.
And especially where I live, I can hit certain parts of the county fairly easily on simplex, and others I can't get even closer areas like in Bremerton because of the tallest hill in the area. But it's learning. And I've also started doing more non-AMRON activity of checking in with the local clubs and the ARS group there.
Good experience.
It's been interesting because there was a few weeks ago where they were having repeater issues, and the guy who was running net goes, everyone go to the repeater output, and we'll just use it in simplex.
Yes.
And half of them didn't know how to do that. Ah. And it made me realize, you know, I had this ICOM radio that I was trying to go, and because it had this smart auto feature enabled, it wouldn't let me do it either. So it forced me to get into the radio and really learn it a little bit on how to program what's normally a duplex when you have this auto repeater function enabled. You got to learn how to turn that off so yeah. you can plug in what would be normally in the output band, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly. And so that one little experience right there added to the overall accumulative experience that you're gaining by being on the radio, by practicing with your gear, not just buying it, sticking it in a Faraday right. cage because you're going to use it when you grid down. So I don't... you know, I know it works. I turned it on, and you don't train with it.
Yeah, I had a few of those conversations here yesterday.
You know? Yeah, we did too. Yeah. So I think we really hit home with a lot of folks too. I know you did too. You're out there spreading the words. Quite a few Amron operators here. Some of them are in booths. We've got Russ over there that runs that Hoodoo CH3 net with the, like 20 to 50 check-ins every time they do a net. Amazing. Yeah, so
we have three or four or zero, and I'm really bad at getting you the forms. I'm sorry. I'll get better, Ted.
We got to get better at reminding people, too. So, yeah. Well, hey, thank you so much.
Yeah,
Austin Chambers, the author of Cascadia Fallen. God bless. Godspeed on your – and have a safe trip going back, and we'll – be in touch.
And thank you and Lady Liberty for everything you guys do and you know, the things you endure in the name of trying to do what's right for America.
Appreciate
America
it.
With a C, not a backwards K.
That's right. Amen, brother.
Thank you.
All right, take care.